This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
In unsurpassed, perfecting and perfect Dharma is rarely met with, even in 100,000 million kalpas, having it is seen, listened to remember and accept. I vow to test the truth of that Tathagata's words.
Welcome and thank you for coming. It's my first Dharma talk here, and I'm touched by it. I'm touched by all of you coming here to be here together for the sake of awakening. So thank you. And I'm listening right now to like the truth, like what wants to be expressed right now at this very moment compared to what was in my mind earlier, half an hour ago, an hour ago. And be present to see what this moment wants. I spoke to a friend yesterday about this Dharma talk a bit, and he said that something experiential would be very nice to experience, like in stuff like being a lecturing, kind of something experiential might be beneficial. And I felt the truth of that, and I would like to explore, kind of like experiment with all of us and see how it's going to work. And the topic of the conversation today was like that I wanted to talk about was like to bring the perfections of the six paramitas, the perfections of the bodhisattva vow, and just like before that, like to have some sort of explanation about the different understandings of the teachings. It depends really where we hear the teachings that we have understanding into that. We might hear it from our daily karmic consciousness, and it's like it has its own ideas, like the from sense of separateness. And then when a bodhisattva hears the teachings or the paramitas, we have a different understanding, or I would say inner standing, of what these teachings are about. Like that's. I get it. It's alive inside. And then there is the Buddha's understanding of the precepts or the paramitas, the no standing, no time. And while all these are true, it's like what the Buddha said about the Dharma is good at the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. It's so very true. So with that being said, like I would like to go to like the understanding of the first paramita, which is a perfection, which indicates someone who gone beyond. And the first one is dana, which can be, in Sanskrit it's dana, and it's translated in English to generosity. But what is that generosity means really? Like when, I know I've heard some Dharma talks about people, and the treasurer was like talking about dana in order to convince other people that they need to donate to the center. And I was like, that's not really it. It's manipulated. So what is this generosity? Generosity of like, can we give ourselves completely to the moment, to whatever life is giving us? Can we give our full attention to that very instant of life that is manifesting, and we are manifesting with, and we are there with it completely, deep listening? The second one is sila, like the virtue or morality or right conduct, proper conduct and discipline. And on that, it's really tricky. Like, how can we tell others what's the right thing for them to do? But it is my observation that it doesn't matter who we are, at whichever level of realization or evolution of consciousness we are acting and realizing from, we can always see like what is unenlightened action is. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we don't need to be enlightened to know that this action or this speech is not enlightened, really. So with that being said, like, it's kind of like, how do we conduct ourselves when life shows itself? How we relate to it? And while studying psychotherapy, what came about was, it's not about what arises in consciousness. It's really my relationship with whatever arises. And it shifted like from like knowing what to do to actually my relationship to whatever arises is the important thing. And with that, there is a lot of, for me personally, a lot to do, a lot of to evolve. The third one is Kshanti. Kshanti. Anyone knows how to pronounce it properly? Kshanti. Thank you. It's patience. It's translated as patience or tolerance, acceptance and endurance. And with that personally, I have lots of work to do. Like when I see myself not acting properly, when I recognize that my action was not really enlightened action and not very, besides it, to the fact that it's very humbling to recognize it, it's like, can I have patience with myself to see that I still have an aspiration to evolve and not become violent with myself, if that makes any sense. Not become very judgmental. Just accept that and work with it patiently. Like, have patience with myself while I'm transforming. And it is my observation that whatever we do to ourselves first, then we do to others on the outside. So if we can generate that patience with ourselves too, maybe we'll have patience with others on the outside. Just like I testify, like sometimes driving on the road and someone slower than me driving on the highway, I'm not very patient. And then I'm remembering and working on that. And the fourth one is virya. Virya is like zeal or energy, like the aspiration to do the spiritual work. Like having developed like the aspiration to awaken with all beings, like whatever we just chanted. And like, do I have like the right vigor, the zeal, the right effort, the correct effort to see what arises and see what's the right response and have the energy to act upon it? The fifth one is kind of like very simple to say, and like, and the thing is like to actualize it, is dhyana. It's like single mind-pointedness or contemplation. Can I be with whatever arises right now in my awareness? It's not really mine, but anyhow. And be with it. And be maybe non-separate from it. So there is no going to be the observer and the observed. There is just going to be objective experience here right now, as this moment arises. And the last one is prajna. It's heart wisdom. It's translated as wisdom, but I would say heart wisdom, because in our Western society we think we like the intellect, the intelligence of the intellect, and I'm talking about something else. Like the heart that have realized the emptiness of separate self. The the fact that that could see like the core rising of experience and have its like wisdom into like what's being seen. It's clear seeing of like this reality that we are all sharing together here. We all came, we had other choices to make, and we all chose to be here. And I was asked to give this talk. So I wonder if anyone has any questions about like those six perfections or the paramitas before I can continue. Right. When we practice, we can see that actually none of those qualities stand by itself. Like they're all interdependent, and the one we deepen and strengthen one of them, it strengthens all the others. I'll give you an example. Like, let's say, the virya, like the zeal, the energy. If I generate like that energy into like whatever is given to me, I have like the energy to approach it and respond with it properly, it will all by itself will bring all the other five. It's going to bring the generosity of paying attention to it, the right conduct with it. Let's say I see something that I don't like about myself. And there could be a habit of like, oh, I don't want to see that. I'm trying to get a different state of consciousness. I don't want to be angry. And I'm trying to suppress the anger and stuff like having full attention to it. But if I have the energy to work with it, I'm just like, oh, show me yourself. What is that I'm working with? So I have the right conduct, not trying to kill this state of consciousness that arises within me, as an example. And patience, like patience with myself. Yes, I have the energy and I have the patience to see that mistake time and again and keep on working with it. And when I have that quality working with myself, I have the same quality of working with others when they show up in a way that I feel causes like unnecessary suffering, just as my own mind can create unnecessary suffering. And it allows, of course, dhyana and hopefully prajna. So that being said, I'm curious if like I'm going to offer that experience and see if we are willing to work with it together. And the experiment is going to be, like since we meditated for a couple of sessions earlier already and we are fairly grounded, like take a couple of minutes to ground again and see a topic in our life that is, we can still feel like it's like something that we need to work with. Like with whatever it is. And we need to see that we are willing to share it with someone. Like we are willing to share that subject with someone else. Like, and hopefully someone we don't know here. Like we are the Sangha members, but maybe we can find someone we never worked with or they don't know much about us and we can just show real. No need to to impress anyone. And so the idea is going to be experientially like to go over like the first like meditate on that thing that is troubling us and to see if we can bring any of those paramitas into it and what it would be like to heighten our own inner relationship from the paramitas perspective to this topic that is troubling us. It might be a relationship or an action that we need to take and we don't take, or something else that is really on your mind. And see like what it's like to bring the paramitas to it, and what it would be like to relate to it from like a deeper place within yourself into that topic and then share it with someone. Is that something that sound agreeable or not? And it's okay if something is not resonating for you not to do it. Like nobody should push themselves to do something that they don't feel comfortable. So absolutely just listen to your own inner intuition into like, do I want to do that? Or if the other person is willing to do it and I'm not, am I willing just to bear witness to them sharing with me when that happens? Is that okay? That sounds cool. All right. So the idea is like, take a moment, reflect upon it. Bring the different higher level of yourself, of the paramitas, and work with this topic one by one. See what which one is affecting and touching it. And then I'm going to ring the bell and we can turn around to someone that hopefully we don't know and have a share, like for 5 minutes, if that's okay. Yeah?
Would you guide us through the
Yes, mistakes? Yes, yes, absolutely. So, Hogan, may I have the bell? Thank you. Alrighty. So let's take the time and just like center with ourselves and then find this topic. Maybe it just already popped up. But see that we have the paramitas to work with it. Like we have the willingness and the patience and the generosity. We'll take a couple of minutes. Just. And as we sit with this topic, let's look at the generosity. What it would be like to bring the generosity of our mind, of our open awareness, to that topic that we decided to work at this very moment. And see what arises. Maybe there is a resistance to work with it. Some sensations in the body of discomfort. And see if we can be generous with that. You're willing to let that be here right now. And as we do that, we can shift to the right conduct today. How are we relating to this topic that arises within our consciousness? Are we trying to suppress it? Are we attached to it, like very strongly, like someone needs to do something else for me to be happy? What is that it discomforts us really? And see if we can have the discipline to sit with it and look into it with the right conduct. Or are we trying to get a different set of consciousness to experience ourselves, which will be much more fun? And let's look at the patience, kshanti. Do we have the patience inside to work with it, even though it's still not perfect? Are we committed to the patience working with it? then do we have the energy to work with it, the virya? Are we willing to work with it? And the next two might be more difficult, like the dhyana. Can I stay with this topic unwaveringly, or am I trying to get out of here? Am I trying to get out of like looking into that? Am I trying to, or can I stay with it? Can I stay with my discomfort for a moment and still stay and be present to it? And the heart wisdom, compassion, understanding, seeing the causes and conditions that allowed that state of consciousness to arise, and to be able to sit with it. And if we are willing to turn around to find a partner for this exercise and have like a couple of minutes of sharing what it was like to go through that. Like, and because we're all connected, it's all one life really. So just sharing like what it was like to have this experience, like maybe like 3 minutes each side? Is that enough time, you think? Yeah? Alrighty. Thank you. Alright. And the energy can flow. I'll ring the bell in 3 minutes. Like bringing the Dharma to our daily life. The beauty of like, it's real. It's not like just words that we hear and then it's very applicable to bring to our life the teaching. I was sharing here with my partner, like the most difficult thing is like, for me, is to self-accept some aspects of myself that got conditioned into me, like that I should reject them. And so with that, there is like splitting my own mind. Something arises and the other part of the mind says like, no, I need to push it away. And to see the shift of like how we can bring these teachings into the generosity, the attention, the patience, the right conduct, into seeing that and meet that in that very moment. I can still see that few of us here are like touched with what we just shared, and that like it struck like a really deep place. And it feels like how when we do it in community with mindfulness, with the intention of the Dharma, like how deep it can go very fast. And the fact that actually, like the way Jesus said, if two of you will come in my name, I'll be there with you. Like when we come to the truth, we want the truth, and we meet with another being, both wanting the truth, both wanting awakening or whatever that is. There is some force that is there that is so impactful and it's so beneficial. And also to see like the interdependence of us, like we are completely so connected that like we so need each other and all of us in order to evolve together. Like, and I'm sure that like our mind can come up with like, oh no, but there is this one person in the White House we don't like. And to see that actually it is what life is doing, and the way it manifests, it wouldn't be there without the causes and conditions to bring it up. And then there is a question of like, what is my response when those things arise? What is really, truly my authentic, heartfelt response when I watch things, I watch unnecessary suffering, complete delusion, and what is our inner response? And that, I think, is like our meditative state of like, what is our response to everything that arises moment by moment, to whatever we hear? And there is a lot of unnecessary suffering in this life. I remember my personally, let's make it tough, way-seeking mind talk, or 5 minutes. There was a special moment in my life where I quit my high-tech job already. I saw that there was no joy in chasing wealth, let's say. Lots of money, living in a Silicon Valley, having executive position. And clearly I saw that, like, no, it's empty for me. Like the joy out of it was drained. And I was just like, okay. And through like something, like I could really see the pain in the world, like on the planet, on a planetary level, like not like my neighbors or myself, my own self stories, like, but the collective pain on this planet, Gaia pain. But I was held, like I was held with like what at the time I thought like God was with me, the presence of God was with me, so I could sustain and not collapse from so much pain. And as if like he didn't ask me, but like the words arose in my mind was like, what's your response to that? I've shown you the pain in the world. What's your response to that? And there was lots of insights that came through because of the presence. I could see that I cannot change anybody on the outside. There is no dials to anybody to change them, to make life better. And the only thing I could do was work on myself. And I could see that like the only thing that really meant is for me to wake up completely for the sake of all beings, for like really awaken for the sake of all beings. That was like the single most important thing that I could do. And from that moment on, it just took its own life. And I had no idea what that meant. You know, like my mind did not have an idea of what it means to awaken even. But it took its own life for the guidance of waking up for the sake of all beings. So, I would like to hear from you, like we have about a few more minutes before the bell is going to ring, or maybe we are not going to have a bell for lunch. But if any of you would like to share, if you had an experience that you're willing to share, and or you have questions or something that you want to bring up here, I'll be more than happy to be with you with it, to be here together, all of us, with that topic.
Thank you for your talk and for your exercise. It's a little unconventional, but I like this. I find historically in my life, to some degree. Mm-hmm. But I wrestle with, you talked about, I think, aversion to push something away. And I wonder if you actually do push it away. And is that really possible to push it away? Mm.
Yeah.
Because it's just kind of like, you know, you push on something and something else comes up.
Right.
Push on that and then something else comes up.
Yeah.
So I wonder if can you actually push something away? Like, I know in myself, I found from aggression and anger that I can walk away. But it doesn't seem like it goes away.
Right. Right.
I have to still work with the anger and the aggression, I think, in some ways resonates because it's in me.
Right.
Right. So somehow I identify if there's anger, and so that it isn't necessarily clear to me until maybe later. And still, that guy cut me off.
Right.
He's not going fast enough.
Right. Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. The question is very relevant. Like, can we really push away something? Do we really suppress it, or will it pop up somewhere else? And it's really interesting when we start to have the paramitas to study our own mind, because really, like, what we start to learn is like how our mind interacts with everything. There is a phase where we are really learning to work with our mind, like the way Dogen said, study the self, like learn your own mind. It's not yours, but work with the mind, study the mind, to realize that there is no self. But like before, that we have to work to learn to study the mind that is habitually projecting on the world a lot of stuff. The world is happening, and we have a process that narrates what's happening, and we believe that the narration is what's going on, really. That is immense amount of delusion. That what this narration process is doing is really happening. And we are in trance believing that the thoughts is what's going on, and we are responding to it. It creates quite a bit of suffering. That being said, when we study the mind, we can see that we have like young little boy who is angry, and the mother says, "Don't be angry," right? Or something like that. And now the little boy starts to suppress that. Whenever anger arises, it suppresses it. And in a way, there is creation of split in the mind that says, "I'm not angry." We've seen so many people like who don't even know how they behave, right? Like a redhead guy, like on TV, just occasionally came just to my mind. Like just that the best president in the world. There was never anything any better. That's their belief about what their actions are. And anybody with true eyes would say, "Oh my God, it creates so much suffering." But there is a split. So the mind has capacity to push something to the unconscious. And from that moment on, it says, "I don't know about that. And I'm living here." But that part is, while it's still there, the conscious mind is not aware of. And the mind split itself to conscious mind and unconscious mind. And that process can happen to us. And the development of consciousness is bringing the conscious mind to the unconscious. And there is development of like life to become more and more aware to itself. And in that, there is more clarity of seeing, and we can keep on practicing. The question is really good. Thank you.
So it's the practice of no separation. Just being with it.
Just being with it is a good start. The karmic consciousness says, "I'm not separated," but there is still an "I am." I was sitting earlier, I'll share with you a joke and story. When I started sitting, like when I just pulled my left foot, I felt like this pain in my left little toe, and it has been troubling me for like the last 2-3 weeks. And I thought like, "Oh, is that like this little thing on the cushion?" And this time I just paid attention. So it's like, actually there is nothing. And then I realized it's my tendon that is problem. Like there is pain in my tendon. It's not something that I'm always thinking I'm scraping on. And it reminded me of the joke of like someone goes to the physician and say, "Doctor, my whole body is hurting. Everywhere I touch, it's in pain." And the doctor checks him out and say, "Well, you have a broken finger." So the thing is, to be one with, this one that is with needs to be examined too. And that is like what Dogen said, to study yourself or take the backward step. What is that is aware to all of life? What is that is aware to mind? And that's what I'm saying. So we can start practicing with that, yes, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Being one with and not separated, and like to go beyond like the subject-object I'm experiencing, the way we say the giver, the gift, and the what's it like? The giver, the gift, and the, no, the giver, the receiver, and the gift are one. When we come to that way of being, and it's not mental, it's really a way of being, right? Like the speaking is speaking right now, and the hearing is hearing. I hear the words with you. I don't know who is speaking them. I don't have a sense of speaking even. But something is happening here, and there is, I don't know, magical moment between all of us together. So yeah, I'm pointing to that. Anyone else? Yeah.
And this separate, not separate. I have a story that kind of really seemed to resonate with me about this, because I struggle with this, because we are separate. You know, like I had went to the dentist.
Yeah.
And I practiced Orioki, so I knew I was going to go to this retreat, was going to eat. But the day before, I go to the dentist and I have Novocaine mm-hmm. to anesthetize. And so after I leave the dentist, I go and have lunch and I start chewing on my sandwich. And I look down,
ouch.
I went, oh, that's a strange texture. And I take my napkin and I have a little blood. I'm going, my God, I mean, without my nerves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without this separation,
yeah.
The food that actually feeds
yeah.
this separation, I would be chewing my face off.
Yes, yes. So this is a great example what you just brought. Like, we are numb. We are numb to the interconnectedness of all of life. And it's like a veil that is being pulled over our eyes. And oh, I'm separate from you. But if we investigate, even intellectually, we can see that you cannot be separated from the world, even if you want to. While you are saying that you are separate, you are not separate. You are breathing oxygen that the trees are creating. You cannot be separated from the sun, which shines light to create this photosynthesis. And you still think that you are separate from the sun. But remove the sun, and all of life here is going to extinct. And our human mind can think, but I'm separate from the sun or the moon and whatnot. While we are supported by everything to sustain our life. And so being with Novocaine and asleep to the fact that life is interconnected process is possible. And it creates pain, as you said, like you chewed your thought.
Understand completely this air and so forth, but then
yeah.
without the separation, there's no my survival.
Right.
It was at risk in a way.
Yes.
So it's yeah. a little confusing for me, at least on that physiological level. But I wonder if it's as many things with the body. This is a great practice. Is with this body, I learned so much about my heart and my mind.
So, right. So I'll share with you in a few minutes. Like, I mean, it's a deep topic what you're just bringing up. We as primates learn to develop language, and there is symbolic thinking, and there is the actual object, right? So if you'll go in the desert and I'll give you a piece of paper with H2O written on it or water, and give it to you, it's not going to support you. You want the real thing to quench your thirst. Mm-hmm. When we are completely entranced with our symbolic thinking, we're confused between the I versus the symbolic one that we are thinking in our mind. And that narration process I mentioned earlier is really scary to let go of that symbol. Will you be, like, just for 5 seconds, without any thoughts in your mind, here you are, here we are all together, and for a moment, just stop the thoughts for 5 seconds. Is anything lost? No. Nothing is lost. But you stop thinking about this I that is separate from everything. What it's like to be without this insisting I'm separated from everything process going. Right now, let's do it right now. So you see, like, we don't need to make anything happen, it's already happening. Lack of the interconnectedness is already here all the time. And there is conditioned process thinking, but I'm separate. So be kind to it and do the 6 parameters with it. Yeah. Anyone else before we are going to enjoy lunch? Thank you so much. It's really an honor to be here. And I'm humbled by being here and realizing that what it takes to give a talk, to share time in that position. I'm really humbled by it. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.